Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. Sports Daily here on a Friday. The quote-unquote dress rehearsal for NFL teams this weekend. Some of them got them taken care of last night. NFL talk here on Sports Daily. Go to the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline. And on it is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Jason LaCanfora. As always, Insider Calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Jason, thanks for joining me. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's everything there?
Not too bad. Not too bad. We're looking forward to the Chiefs season here in Chiefs country. They will play the 49ers on Saturday. Before we get there, what did you make of exhibition football in Winnipeg? It was like backyard football, so they kind of made the best of it, didn't they?
Christmas. Yeah, I mean, I guess they got some work in, though. I mean, when you really step back and look at what it takes to move a team, you know, to pick up operations in Napa Valley, and you know, 90 players, 25 coaches, heaven knows how many trainers, nutritionists, IT people, you know what I mean? And you go there to play this game, and you end up playing sort of a bastardized version of it. And, you know, Green Bay takes 33 dudes, many of whom otherwise would have at least done something, and says, nope, we're not even going to risk it. It's clearly less than optimal. But so is the entire NFL preseason, right? And so as much as that's a stain on the league, because you're like, come on, man. Like, you knew this game was coming for months. You know it's a CFL schedule. You know, I mean, you know, in the middle of their season, like, you know what their fields, you know, look like, or at least you should. And you didn't have this thing ready to go. I mean, the Bills used to play in Toronto, right, where they have a CFL. They would play four games a year in Toronto, or two games, or whatever it was, for a while. You have to have the field ready to go for NFL, you know, regulations, and not CFL. So that shouldn't happen in this day and age. You know, that stuff should be sorted out well ahead of time. At least, you know, I guess they got some work in. But that's preseason football, right? It's not a great product for the fans. It's generally less than ideal circumstances for the teams. And the injury risk is so high. Maybe it just keeps the conversation going towards, something's got to change here. It's got to be shorter. It has to be different. Maybe it's more teams like they've already been doing, especially the last 5 years, training at one facility for 4 or 5 days and then playing a 30-minute game at the end of it, you know, after 4 days, versus a full-blown four quarters with the whistles blowing and all the flags and everything else.
Before we get off of preseason football, all anybody can talk about is shortening it, the exhibition season, to two games, and then maybe 18 regular season games. How do you see that coming to fruition?
Don't know about the 18. I think shortening the preseason, it's already like there's some issues that everybody can agree upon, you know, and that's one of them. I other than some owners who just feel like, well, wait a minute, I'm still able to sell these tickets for full price, you know, because that you pay regular season price for the preseason. So there's some pushback there in that, well, wait a minute, this is still kind of a bit of a moneymaker for us. But from a football operations standpoint, I think everybody would agree that there's different ways you can go about this to still, you know, get the same, if not better results, but mitigate the injury risk and not have, you know, these stadiums that are 75% vacant, and just the optics of it aren't good. Again, I think some of it will have to do with more of these team sort of mandated team-on-team practices, where you get a lot of work done against somebody else for 2 or 3 days, but in a controlled environment with quarterbacks still wearing red jerseys, et cetera. I think it will be a shortened preseason at some point, whether it starts at 3 and then you alternate. 1 year you play two on the road, the next year you get two at home or whatever, or whether they take it all the way down to two. And there's, I'm convinced that there will be an extra playoff game in each conference coming. So if you add that in, I think the revenue from those games is probably a couple $100 million alone just from those games. So that would help offset some of the loss of the preseason. I'm not sure about an 18-game regular season. I believe that's still a no-go with the NFLPA.
Jason Lockhand, ForRadio.com, Sports NFL Insider, joining me here on Sports Daily. What about, and I feel like this is gaining a lot of traction, the coaches certainly are for or suggesting, let's do more of the joint practices, televise those, and open those up. You'll actually get to see some of the players you want to see. It'll be in a controlled environment, but are we ever going to get to that point maybe?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, I think that's where it's going. They've become, 10 years ago, I don't remember much of it. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, I remember Belichick and Sean Payton kind of starting to do it, and then it was a copycat league, and then the Eagles followed and the Ravens, and before you know it, I mean, last year, the L.A. Rams, who played nobody in the preseason, right? I mean, they literally went and out, and they're like, Andrew Whitworth, our left tackle, is not 100%. So we're not playing Goff. And if we're not playing Goff, then we're not going to play Gurley. And if we're not playing Gurley, then why are we playing our starting receivers? If we're not playing our starting receivers, why don't we sit our whole offensive line? But they flew all the way across country to Baltimore for their first preseason game. They practiced with the Ravens all week. They got great work there, and that just reinforced their decision. Why succumb to injury risk in the games? And then after they did it for one game, they're like, well, we're not going to play anybody in any of the preseason games. And I recall them going to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think it certainly has been a growing trend. You can control things. It's sort of controlled chaos versus just the you know, the chaos that is a football game itself. And then, you know, you do it at the stadium for 2 or 3 days. You let people come in at a minimal price. You still sell some beers and what have you. Mm-hmm. And then day three is maybe a 30-minute game, or maybe it's a full four-quarter game, but with a running clock, you know, and it's situational-based. Like, the first quarter, maybe both teams start in the red zone. You know what I mean? And you see kind of 11-on-11 red zone. And then maybe the second quarter is both teams get three reps of, you know, three full drives of a 2 minute drill, and then the third quarter is 4 minute. I think smart football people are already thinking in that manner, and hopefully that does become a trend and something that we see as part of this next collective bargaining agreement.
Zeke Elliott continues his holdout, but you write for Cowboy fans not to be worried. He'll probably be signed by week one. What's really going on here?
I mean, deadlines spur action, and the real deadline here is week one, and you start talking about missing paychecks that you might never recoup, and you start talking about really putting your team at risk and yourself at risk. The longer this goes, you come back, you get hurt. He already can't get an accrued season towards free agency. He's missed that deadline, so you start really putting some of your situation at jeopardy, and then obviously the team as well, when the games start counting in the standings. I don't think Jerry Jones has sweat this a bit yet, and I don't think Ezekiel Elliott has either. And there's a lot of money on the table, and you're not going to get your last best offer until the week before the regular season starts. And that's where this thing has always been headed. And at the end of the day, I think the bird in hand for him is going to be too substantial to walk away from, to think that, oh, well, maybe if they're 0-3, I get a couple million more. I mean, I talking to people close to him through this whole process, I've never got the sense that this is one that was going to drag into the regular season.
If that's true, and I believe you 100%, then and Jerry's not sweating it, and neither is Zeke necessarily, why can't he just be there and just not play in games? Because we see that with superstar players all the time. Why can't he actually be in camp then, if we're kind of fooling ourselves otherwise?
I guess he could, but I mean, generally the point is I'm not, you know, I'm going to do my own thing until I buy back in, you know, until we have addressed my long-term future, I'm going to stay out of the facility. Trust me, they're not completely in the dark as to what he's doing, and they have a sense of what kind of shape he's in. But if you're going to play the game and you're going to have a stare down, If you want to sort of have maximum leverage on withholding my services, then you kind of need to, you know what I mean?
To not show up.
Going through walkthroughs and sitting in meetings because he's not going to play in the preseason anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, the only thing they're really going to get out of him is walkthroughs and meetings. And if you're doing that, then it's like, well, wait, what are you really, you know, what's your point?
Yeah.
And it's different for him. People would say, okay, well, look at what he's doing versus Julio Jones. Julio Jones is going for his third bite at the apple. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a little different than a guy who he didn't get to negotiate his rookie contract, right? You come in and that's slotted for you, and then you see what Gurley gets, and you see what Le'Veon Bell held out for a year, and he's still got 14.5 on the open market. You know, I think it's just a little – guys are at different places in their careers, and I understand what he and Melvin Gordon are doing.
Jason Lockhan, for talking NFL, our NFL insider here on Sports Daily. A really weird, weird deal with Antonio Brown. It has to do with his helmet. I'm not sure I buy that necessarily.
Yeah.
Do you?
I mean, he is a creature of habit, and he wants to wear that particular helmet. There was a grievance hearing about this that he lost. I guess it was a week or two ago. The days bleed into each other. There's an appeal hearing that will go on today. But regardless of the result of that appeal hearing, he's going to be wearing a officially approved NFL/NFLPA helmet, one of the 36 or so models that they've approved. Or he's going to be allowed to wear his existing helmet for one more year. But either way, he's going to be playing football for the Raiders, and he's going to be doing so with an actual helmet on his head. You know, could there be a ruling, though, that comes out next week that says, look, you know, sort of re-grandfather him in for another year with his current, you know, whatever it is, shut helmet. And
mm-hmm.
But he's, you know, by the start of OTAs next year, he has to pick from one of these other 30-odd models. Could be. Or they could just say, no, this has all been sort of collectively bargained, and, you know, there's an array of choices. Go find one. In the meantime, he has tried a bunch of different models, and I do think that part of it is over. I think the foot was always more of a real thing than the helmet, because at the end of the day, he's not walking away from potentially $30 million to prove a point over an antiquated model of an NFL helmet that's no longer produced.
Yeah, it seemed like a weird hill to die on, and it doesn't look like
yeah.
he's going to. How concerned should the Colts fans, front office, and everybody surrounding Andrew Luck be about Andrew Luck?
Have to be concerned, no doubt about it. I mean, on the bright side, it's not related to the shoulder, and it doesn't appear to be anything that's remotely as career-threatening or career-hindering as that shoulder could have been. But this was something they all thought would get cleaned up in a matter of months in the offseason, and it hasn't. And it bled from the spring right into the summer. And I was at their camp the day he was supposed to practice for, I think, the third time, and he couldn't go and didn't want to risk it. And at that point, the sense was, this is, you know, we're just going to be overly precautionary and just buy him, you know, some more time to get everything sort of as pain-free as it could be. And then since then, and now it's an ankle and it's some other stuff going on in there. So, yes, you have to be concerned. Do I think he could play a game right now on it and be pretty effective? Yeah, I do. I think he's played through worse. I know he's played through worse. And if there was something real on the line, he could go. The problem is, can he do that, you know, for 16 straight weeks without aggravating it or it becoming a bigger problem? And nobody has a crystal ball as to how that plays out. I don't think it's a big deal him missing reps. He knows that offense. He's incredibly cerebral. I don't think it will be that big of a deal in that regard. It's not ideal. You want to practice, but, you know, I think at this stage of his career, he had to be smart by his body and listen to his body and not try to push through things the way he would in the past. And we'll have to see. They don't know themselves yet whether he'll be able to go week one or not. They may have a decision to make sitting there saying, if we let him sit for a week or two more, you know, do we feel like we could be even further past it? Will that help and mitigate the risk for future aggravation? But the reality is, playing a sport like this, one play is all it could take. You know, one hit in the wrong spot, and all of a sudden it's an issue again.
And boy, you feel for Colts fans, and forgive them if they'd be a little gun shy, because they've heard this before. Oh yeah, he'll be ready week one.
No, exactly, exactly. And again, I think he's smarter for the better from that in terms of pushing himself and knowing when to back off and being incredibly honest with himself and with the trainers. But until he's out there playing in games, no one's going to know for sure how it responds and what the deal is, because he's obviously not playing in the fourth preseason game. I mean, whenever he plays in a game, he will have gone from, you know, a very minimal practice in late July where he was basically just doing seven-on-sevens to playing in games that matter where dudes are trying to, you know, knock you out.
Talking to Jason Lockanfora, NFL Insider, radio.com Sports NFL Insider joining us. Should Baker Mayfield keep his mouth shut or just you be you, buddy?
Yeah. I mean, he'll live and learn. And I think over time, he's still going to be, I think, a big presence and a guy who is not afraid to say what he thinks. But will there be a little bit more of a filter? I'm sure. He's 24-year-old mm-hmm. kid. You go through the wars a few years. You see guys come and go. You really get a handle on how difficult it is to play that this sport at this level. And like anybody else, you mature a bit. But I don't think – like, he's got a huge chip on his shoulder that drives him. That's a huge part of his makeup. That's part of the reason he is as fiery and works as hard as he does every day. So that's not going to change. Will he talk a little bit less about other people in the league, other franchises in the league? I'm sure he will as he gets more sponsorships, you know, as he becomes you know, a little bit more of a face of the league. I think that naturally it kind of comes to pass. But I don't think he's ever going to be a cookie-cutter quarterback, and I don't think he's – you know, it's not going to be, you know, Tom Brady, we just need to work harder today. I think he's going to be a guy who expresses himself in some different ways. I don't think he'd be true to himself if he didn't.
And don't you agree that the Browns would buy into that too, say, this is why we drafted you, because you play this way. Keep playing this way when you're talking about on the field
stuff.
Yeah,
you can't. I mean, this is – none of this should surprise – I mean, this is the guy who grabbed his crotch, right? I mean, like – not that I thought that was the end of the world. I mean, my gosh, people were, you know, falling all over themselves to just say, you know, oh, close my eyes. How dare I see that? Oh, worst thing ever. I mean, we've got politicians and presidents saying and doing much worse. But, like, it's not like they didn't know what they were getting into. They spent thousands of hours studying this kid from not just a football perspective, but a personality, makeup, attitude, motivation. They know how he's wired. And you massage certain things over time, but they didn't draft him where they did first overall to completely rewire him and try to turn him into, you know, a Peyton Manning, America's pitch man. Like, that's not who this guy is, and I don't think that's who he'll ever be entirely.
Jason Lockanfora talking NFL. Last question for you. Jason, appreciate your time this morning. Daniel Jones only threw 2 incompletions last night, and he's only thrown 5 incompletions this preseason. It's obviously really important for him just to get the reps, because you don't get taken 6th overall if you're not going to get the keys to the kingdom sooner or later.
But eventually.
How soon should he get it?
I mean, I think, look, I think it should have been a completely open competition.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, I think it should have been tilted in his direction, because this is a rebuilding team, whether they want to admit it or not. But they don't want to admit it, and the owner in particular doesn't want to admit it. So, I mean, Daniel Jones could have gone out and thrown, you know, literally like 12 touchdown passes in parts of 3 games, and he's probably not starting week 1. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. they cast their die with Eli, the messaging. Even going back to the draft where you take a kid 6th overall, and out of the other side of his mouth, the GM saying, well, maybe he doesn't have to play for 3 years because I don't buy the narrative that Eli's a declining player. So, it would have taken a Herculean effort on his part, I think, to have forced the issue into a true quarterback competition in terms of week 1 starter. But what he has done is given the coach even more capital and collateral to say, like, whether it's even as soon as week 3 or week 4, like, let's just start seeing what we have in the other guy, if it is the Eli we've seen for really 5 years now. And I have a hard time thinking he's going to turn back time without a generational receiver there anymore. You know, like, you're not going to convince me he's going to be better now without Odell. I'm not buying that. So I think it's just a matter of time. I've been looking at week 6 in particular when they play Washington. You look at the Giants' schedule, if they're who a lot of football people think they'll be. I can't imagine that by week 6, they won't have seen that it's time to embrace the future.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Jason Lockanfora joined us this morning. Brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Thanks so much, Jason. It was great catching up with you. Appreciate you.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend. Thank you.
All right. There goes JLC, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. All right. Straight ahead. We've got the Cindio HRO Twitter question. It has to do with NFL players. We'll reveal it. Let you know how you can vote and retweet. Coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.